Hi, welcome to Sleep Well's podcast. I am your host, Shannon Glenn. This is episode number 15, episode number 2 of the new year. Today I sat down and talked with Dr. Rochelle Wolf. She is an acting medical director at Boise State University Student Health Center. And we talked about how she sees lack of sleep and sleep deprivation affecting college students. I hope you enjoy. Rochelle, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
You know, sleep is something that is usually what we're talking about. And, you know, it's something that people deal with and struggle with at all ages. And I know that based on what you do at Boise State University, that you're seeing college students that probably have some sleep issues. So before we dive into anything around sleep, tell us a little bit about what you do for Boise State.
Well, I am a family practice physician, and I'm the acting medical director at the Boise State University Health Services. And we are the medical clinic on campus, and we see all sorts of patients, mostly students, but also faculty and staff.
Okay. And so with seeing mostly students, would you say that you guys are seeing students with sleep issues?
Oh, absolutely. I think we see that probably almost on a daily basis. Maybe not as their primary complaint, but certainly kind of mixed in with other things that they come in with.
Okay. And so what kind of sleep issues are you typically seeing?
We often see folks coming in complaining of fatigue and trying to figure out why they're so tired all the time. We also do a lot of mental health. So we take care of a lot of anxiety and depression, and sleep issues are often part of that as well.
Right. Well, and I was just reading a study the other day that was published out of the University of Georgia, out of their health center. And there, I can't remember what the sample size was, but what it was saying, basically, it was based on their research. The students on the University of Georgia campus were getting like 6 to 6.9 hours of sleep a night. And what's recommended, of course, at this age is 7 to 9 hours, just like adults. But of course, college students are technically still considered adolescents. And so they would be in that higher of the 7 to 9 bracket, like 8 to 9 probably being really what they need. And one thing that this study came out and said was, you know, their lack of sleep and them being under just the minimum of what we would like to see for that age is causing a myriad of issues for college students. I read another article too that said that the amount of population kind of as a whole that could actually function on 6 hours or less is like less than 5% of like the world can actually like successfully function on 6 hours of sleep and not have any health ramifications happening. So why do you think college students are struggling so much with sleep issues now?
I think there's a variety of things that come into play. They're often trying to juggle very erratic schedules. Oftentimes, what their Monday is like is not what their Tuesday is like, and so on. So they may have different class schedules. They're often also working side jobs, which often are in the evenings. They are often up studying late. You know, they're living in a place with lots of other roommates, and there's a lot of noise. So I think there's lots of things that come into play. And right, as I mentioned, there's some mental health issues as well. And I think they all kind of snowball on each other, and sleep is affected with all those things.
Right. And so when they come in to see you guys, are they talking about their lack of sleep, or is it just like in conversation? They're like, oh yeah, and by the way, I don't sleep.
It can be both. I think most of the time, if they're coming in, they're complaining of being tired. And then we sort of delve into why that might be. And oftentimes it is an erratic sleep schedule. There are certainly other medical issues that can cause fatigue, you know, anemia, thyroid issues, vitamin deficiencies. But for most of our students, those things are fine. I always ask about sleep, and sleep can go both directions. Sometimes they're not sleeping enough. Sometimes they're sleeping too much. So either way, we're often trying to work on sleep habits and trying to get that into a reasonable amount of sleep that they can function on.
Right. And what are some tips that you give to college students if they are struggling with sleep when they're coming into your clinic?
I talk a lot about sleep hygiene, talk to them about trying to have a better schedule where there's more of a set bedtime and a set wake time. Probably a big thing too is trying to stay off of their electronics right before bedtime.
Right.
They're often on computers and phones and doing homework. Oftentimes too, they're studying in their room, which I think is not the best place because then I think it affects their sleep later. So if they can find a different place to actually do homework, and then when they do get to bed to get to sleep, keep that area nice and dark and quiet.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's actually a conversation I have with our 13-year-old daughter who is upstairs doing homework right now. And she, it just sort of seems like it's just an incline. It's their space, right? Like their room is their own
Absolutely.
Private space. And so she has like just inclination to want to bring her computer, her laptop up there when she's doing homework. And we're constantly like, yeah, let's get that out of here. Because there is obviously as like a number one sleep hygiene rule for adults and children, it is really advised that there are no screens in the room of any kind. And for kids, you know, starting, of course that we see little kids, but even when I'm working with like elementary age kids, I'm still pretty surprised by how many parents have, you know, they have sleep issues for their child, but then they also have screens in the room. I mean, you know, I guess I say this because I always just feel like it's like common knowledge that everybody knows you shouldn't do that if you have sleep issues. But I just don't think that a lot of people do. So I would imagine that a lot of these college kids, you know, probably had their phone in their room, had their, as a high school kid, or had their laptop in their room, or all of the above, and a TV too. And, you know, didn't have any issues. And then they get to college with all the other stressors. And then it's like, oh yeah, this is, you know, now my sleep is really a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of my lines to them is, if you're in your room doing all sorts of other things all day, when it's time to go to bed, your brain doesn't know it's time to turn off.
Right.
Because you're there often doing other things at every other hour of the day.
Well, and the crazy thing that I even see when I work with adults is that they can literally, I mean, it can be a matter of them being on a screen for like 5 minutes. I mean, it's pretty crazy how little it can take if somebody is, you know, really struggling with insomnia to spiral. It doesn't take much. I mean, I think many people think that, you know, people who like the screen means you like need to be staring at it for hours on end. It really doesn't take much to slow down that melatonin. Yeah. And just tell the brain not to get prepared for sleep, which with teenagers, there's already an issue with that anyway. Do you know if at Boise State, do they still do like early morning class start times?
They do.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard because a lot of the students I talk to have Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedules that are one way, and then Tuesday, Thursday schedules that are completely different. And then they're often mixing in work schedules and, you know, fraternity and sorority things and all sorts of other activities that really limit the amount of time that they have to devote to sleep.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then all of that, of course, plays a huge factor on mental health. It's always hard to know what comes first, the lack of sleep, you know, leading to mental health issues leading to lack of sleep, maybe a little combo.
Absolutely.
Both. Yeah. Cause I know that you have mentioned that, you guys see a lot of mental health issues. And do you think, is that like more common with like freshmen or is that across the board with all ages?
I would say there's probably a little more with freshmen. I think a lot of those folks are dealing with kind of the new environment. They're homesick. They don't necessarily know their roommates. So it's all new to them. And I think that's a little bit of a higher acuity time for that type of stuff. But we definitely see mental health issues in all of our students. We've got a very big counseling department in our office, along with some psychiatrists, and they're busy every day.
Mm-hmm. And how many students go to Boise State University?
Oh, I want to say it's in the 20,000 somewhere. We've got a lot of students that study online. It's becoming much more of a you know, on campus situation where there's a lot more dorms now, where that used to not be the case. So it's kind of your more typical campus.
Okay. And in the dorm setup, are they trending more towards suites, or are they still doing kind of the two in one room?
I think they're trending more towards suites, just from what I'm getting out of the students. I think there's still a mixture of all different types of housing, but I know the newer housing is more suite, which is nice because they have more space. It's not, you know,
right,
you're stuck in a
Well,
and together.
I never lived in the dorms, but I could only imagine like sharing a room with somebody that close to you, if you had any kind of sleep issues going on, could make that a real problem.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be even more stressful than just your own sleep issues. So I imagine that the suite environment would be much, much better.
Yeah, I think it's better, but I still think that a lot of students struggle with their roommates' habits, sometimes kind of impede on their own. There's a lot of noise. People have different hours that they're up, so that can make it challenging.
And are you guys ever in situations where you guys have to recommend that there is roommate changes? Is that kind of going back to like the residence area?
Not really. That's not really something we deal with a lot. We certainly can refer those folks back to housing, or they can go talk to the dean of students. And sometimes that does happen. Mm-hmm. It may not come directly from us, but we'll hear about it kind of after the fact.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot to juggle for a freshman coming in. I think back, to when I was a freshman, and, I worked way too much, and I remember trying to manage, you know, a full class schedule plus almost a 40-hour-a-week job. And then at the end of one semester thinking, like trying to figure out why is this really hard and why am I so miserable? When the reality is there's just so much that you mentally have to adjust to being away from home, you know, and trying to kind of ease your way into adulthood. Then you add all these other layers to it. I was never sleeping, and I often would like wonder why, you know, I'd be like driving home from school or driving home at night from work and almost like falling asleep at the wheel while I was driving. I mean, I was totally exhausted pretty much probably most of college, or at least until I got older, for sure. And I know that, you know, sleep was really never much of a conversation in my house growing up. It just wasn't something talked about, I don't think, for a lot of kids. And so for us, I think unless you just have awareness or knowledge as a parent on the topic, it might not be even something that, or a child that has sleep issues, it might not be something you're necessarily talking about with student your kids either, because it's just not something that you need to talk about. But what would you say are a couple tips for parents with students going into college, or maybe even in their college career, to keep an eye out on or support their children? Their students in?
Yeah, I think a lot of that needs to come way before the fact. You know, if you're not prepared for any of this when you head to college, it's going to be really hard to keep good tabs on things at that point. Mm-hmm. So if you can instill those good habits when they're young, good sleep hygiene, time management, how do you juggle, you know, whether it's sports or school or, you know, whatever, if you work on a job when you're in high school, how do you manage all of that? All of that stuff's going to come into effect when you go to college. And I see a lot of these kids that have never experienced any of that, and now they're thrown into the thick of things and they're drowning, basically.
Right. And do you see this, because obviously we do live in Idaho, which is a little bit more rural. Do you see this with like just parents not like exposing them to things or kind of making them handle things? Or do you see it because there's maybe a little more homeschooled kids here? What do you think the reason behind that is?
I think it's multifactorial. We actually have a lot of out-of-state students that go to BSU. We have a huge contingency of California students. And I think a lot of it is just, we all parent different. And some of us are, you know, more on kind of overseeing things and trying to keep check on things, while others are pushing those kids to do more on their own at an earlier age. And it's a hard balance. You know, you want to be the best parent you can, but it's hard to prepare them for adulthood. At the same time. So,
right.
But yeah, I don't think there's much of a local kind of rural effect. I think it's just different parenting styles across the board.
Right. And what they're exposing kids to. Well, and even, you know, on the flip end of things, if they're coming from California and coming from larger populated areas, then it may even be that parents are, you know, more protective around things that they're doing. And I do think in general, I think about my own house and just little things that I have to be like, wait, they're old enough to do that now. You know what I mean? And I talk about parenting all day long and have my whole adult life. And I still have to say to myself, like, you don't need to be doing that anymore. They can do that by themselves. So I think that it's just something that is so easy. You get into such a rhythm of doing everything for them that if you don't consciously tell yourself to stop and give them some, you know, some exposure and some trial runs that they might make mistakes on and you can coach them through, I could see how that could happen. And then it could be a huge shock.
Yeah, well, and none of us want to see our kids fail, but if they don't know how to handle failure when they get to college, it's going to be a rough road.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, the science of sleep has really progressed in the last 9 years that I've been in the field. And what is everybody is recognizing is it is a, it, you know, one of the three pillars of healthy life. And even though, you know, the college life isn't that long, if you think about our entire lifespan, it still could do some, you know, some damage for down the road if you are really in a bad situation and your sleep is really not going well. So I could see it as some, you know, definitely important years to try to stay healthy, because of course, then there's the other mental health component that they're also vulnerable to at that age too.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I talk to the kids about a lot. I think it's a shock to their system sometimes trying to deal with all the stressors. And that we put a lot of pressure on college students. You know, it's move away from home, pick a career, get good grades, meet new people, have a job. That's a lot to put on their shoulders. And if, you know, if they start to fail on any of that, it all kind of snowballs. And that's where I tell the students, that's what we're there for. We're there to try to help them be successful and hopefully enjoy their time while they're at college, because that's, it is kind of the basis of their adulthood, and we want that to be a good experience.
Right. And so for a student that's struggling, I'm assuming they all know, I mean, do you feel like most of the students on campus utilize your services?
I think it's gotten better over the 6 years that I've been there. Definitely there's been a couple reasons why. One is the on-house or the on-campus housing's definitely increased. So the proximity to where they live, we're right there. Plus our advertising and just kind of getting the word out that we're there has gotten much better as well. I'm still surprised that a lot of people don't know that we're there or don't know what we offer, but we try to do as much outreach as we can, whether it's going to orientations or sending our wellness team out or doing pop-up flu clinics. We try to get the word out there that we're available. And I see every year that I've been there that our business is expanding. So hopefully that continues and they know that, you know, they can always come in with any questions. And like I said, we've got a whole bunch of services in our office. We've got counseling. We've got psychiatry. Our wellness department does a lot of health coaching, and sleep is one of the things they can talk about. So we've got lots of resources, and we've got a great website with all the different divisions on there, and folks can check that out and see what's available.
Awesome. Well, and I would and I don't know if it's true. I know when I was in college, like, as a part of your fees, you paid for health services. Is that the way that it still is too? Still broke down that way?
Yeah, not necessarily for our campus. There's kind of a two ways it happens in the United States is either your student fees are, you've got a big chunk that goes towards health services, and then you kind of have access to that nonstop all year round. That is not how we work. We only get a small chunk of change for each student. So we actually bill insurance just like any other clinic would.
Okay.
And we take almost all insurance plans. We don't take Medicaid or Medicare, but pretty much any other insurance plan we take. So I tell parents and students at orientation all the time, you know, send them in with their insurance card. You know, if there's a copay, that applies. But we pretty much can do anything and everything that just a general clinic would, whether it's general, you know, general wellness exams, whether they need birth control. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can do there. But at this time, just the way that the fee services work at BSU, it's not funded directly through that.
Got it. Okay. Well, and I guess the good news would be the way that health insurance currently is. We'll see how much longer it lasts. Most parents, if they have employee fund, you know, offered health insurance, they can keep their student, you know, their child on until they're 26. So I would imagine that most college students, if their parents have health insurance, are covered by their parents' plan.
For the most part, the insurance requirements have changed over the last few years. It used to be that the university required insurance, and that's no longer the case. But now with the Medicaid expansion going into effect, I think we're going to pick up a lot of those folks that kind of have fallen in the crack the last couple of years. And there are insurance programs that are offered through the university. There's one for the undergrad students. And then we've got a plan that's offered to the GA students and a plan that's offered to the international students. So if they aren't on their parents' plans, there are those available for them to look at. And the benefit of those plans is that if they do have those, they do not pay a copay at the health services. So they can come there however many times they want and never pay out of pocket really for it.
Wow, that's great to know that it's there. I know that, well, and again, obviously back in the day when we were in school, it was a little bit different. But I know even though it was part of our fees, I remember being in college for at least 6 months and being like, oh, I had to go in for something. I don't even know what it was, a cold or something along those lines. And they were like, well, yeah, I had to pay like a small copay, but that was all part of the other fees I had paid. I had no idea that I even like was paying for these services that I was totally not using. But great to know that it's something that you're trying to make as accessible to students as possible.
Yeah, and I think the hard part is they hear about so many things at orientation that we're just one on the list of, 30 things they're learning about. So we try to do some outreach otherwise, so they remember us and know that we're there. And we do offer urgent care, so if folks are sick and they just want to walk in and be seen, they can do that. If they want to schedule an appointment ahead of time and have that set up, they can do that as well. So I think it's, like I said, getting better since I've been there in terms of usage, and we've definitely increased our provider basis. So it's a great place to work. I love working with the students. Our providers love working with the students. It's just a fun place to be able to be a part of their kind of, young adulthood, and hoping to help them kind of, like I said, be successful and be happy while they're there.
Right. Well, and I never in all of my work with youth, I've only worked a little bit with college students. I have worked some, but I have worked a decent amount with high school students, and they do make you feel youthful, which is kind of cool.
Right.
I mean, they keep you up on the latest terms and lingo of what young people are saying and what they're into, and they definitely do give you a little bit of a youthful spirit in being around them. And obviously, especially for those that are coming to you with some mental health issues, helping them through that, I mean, that'll be an experience that they'll remember for the rest of their life.
Yeah, and I always say it's kind of like being another parent to them. And
Right.
if you can be that person for them because you're there, it's a really rewarding job.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me here tonight. I really, really appreciate it. We do talk a lot with our audience is mostly parents with younger kids. However, they're always aging, and as my own two children age, I see changes in them, especially with our teenage daughter, and around sleep. And I think it's just such a great conversation to have with,
Absolutely.
student kids of all ages. Yeah. So thank you very much for joining me here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. It definitely just fueled my passion and fire for sleep. All the more reason why we have to continue to value sleep and teach our little ones the importance of it. Because as Dr. Wolf said, if they get to college, it's too late. It's not too late, but it can be a lot harder on them if they don't have good sleep skills, and they're going to have to learn those as young adults, as well as learning how to become an adult. So there's a lot on the plate of a college kid, and if they're well rested, it's going to make it all a whole lot easier. So, just one more reason why you want to make sure that your child is sleeping as good as he can be. I hope your year is off to a great start, and I hope you sleep well.